Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? March, they never change anything.
Today on It's My House, it's going to take about 2 days to cover this, maybe three. I ran across something in Japanese culture. Actually, Japan and China. Let's start off with, this is directly out of Japanese culture, that if African Americans took a page out of this name I'm about to put out there, they might have a shot of getting reparations or a whole lot of other things. But the term is Zaibatsu. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that Japanese name correctly. Z-A-I-B-A-T-S-U. Zaibatsu. That's how I'm pronouncing it. I'm going to see if I'm pronouncing it right. I had to check it. But we're going to play a piece that we play every morning. And there's a Zaibatsu way, at least I'm going to do it. A Zaibatsu way of breaking down things and assembling things. But in any event, I'm going to play this piece of Solar Cabinet. We're going to come back and look at how on an individual family level. Now, this is on the individual family level. Okay. And then I'm gonna name some companies that are family based, that are multi-billion dollar companies, and families start with two people. Just two people. They start a family. So this is out of Japanese culture, Zubatsu. Like I said, we're gonna play this solar cabin piece. We're gonna look at it from a Zubatsu point of view. Because I'm pretty sure in the United States, let's see, Ronald Reagan signed the Civil Liberties Act of 1988, which was reparations for Japanese Americans who went through the internment thing. I think they averaged about $22,000 per family, what have you. But anyway, this Zubatsu is the core of it. It's the core of it, how they got it. So I'm going to play this thing on Solar Cabin because this, you got to start with the fundamental parts of anything to make it successful. You got to know the fundamentals of it. So I'm going to play this Solar Cabin piece. We're going to come back, go through Zubatsu, what it means, where you can see examples of it. And some of you might have some products that are owned via Zubatsu. In any event, we'll be back in a few minutes.
Hi folks, in this video I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater. And those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions. And that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively. And you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
Okay, back. I had to find my studio. All right. So We just played the Solar Cam. We played it every day now. How can we relate this to the title of today's show, which is Zaibatsu? It's a Japanese term, Z-A-I-B-A-T-S-U, Zaibatsu. 619-768-2945. Let me go straight out of Wikipedia on this one. And this gives some insight on... Oh, man, I thought I saved it. Okay, let me go do this the old-fashioned way. Zaibatsu, okay. You know, African Americans, well, you know, so-and-so got reparations and we didn't, you know. What I'm about to read now will give you a huge clue. Zaibatsu. It's a Japanese term, and you don't have to be Japanese to do this. This goes down to the fundamentals of society, and they use this for business in a Japanese culture. Zaibatsu, and you can read this on Wikipedia yourself. It's spelled Zaibatsu, Zaibatsu. Okay, let's get to the definition. Zaibatsu is a Japanese term referring to industrial and financial business conglomerates in the Empire of Japan whose influence and size allowed control over significant parts of the Japanese economy. They were succeeded in the second half of the 20th century by Keiretsu. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. Now, we're going to go over Keiretsu tomorrow. All right, terminology. The term Zaibatsu, or Zaibatsu, not Zaibatsu, Zaibatsu, was coined in the 19th century Japan from the Sino-Japanese root. Now, I'm not going to go through all that. By definition, Zaibatsu were large, this is the operative term right here. Zaibatsus were large, family-controlled vertical monopolies consisting of a holding company on top with wholly owned banking subsidiary providing finance, several industrial subsidiaries dominating specific sectors of a market either solely or through a number of subsidiary companies, period. I'm going to read this again because this is critical and very fundamental. Matter of fact, if we're going to do the key to getting reparations 101, this has got to be in it. All right. African Americans talking about how come we didn't get it. This is why the Japanese Americans got reparations and we haven't thus far, at least in my opinion. By definition, Zaibatsu, once again, look this up. I'm reading it. I'm not making this up. Spelled Zaibatsu, Zaibatsu, out of the Japanese culture, were large, here's an operative term here, family-controlled vertical monopolies. That's step one. Do you have a family business? Within that, 1A, and that's 1A, do you have a family business? 1B, has your family identified a particular niche that you can dominate and possibly make it have a monopoly? That's 1B. Well, no, make it. That's one. It's one. 1A, does your family have a family business? 1B, has your family identified a particular niche that you can dominate? 1C, is there a particular niche that your family can have a monopoly in? That's just on one. Because we do have successful black businesses in the United States. Yep, I mean, Black Enterprise, every in there, there's several listed in Black Enterprise every month. If you're looking at Black Enterprise, top 100 industry, industrial companies for the year, there's probably about four maybe to six African-American companies that are taking over $1 billion a year. But how many of them are family-controlled virtual monopolies? Let me read this again. By definition, Zaibatsu, is a large family-controlled vertical monopoly consisting of, and let's break this down, a holding company on the top with a wholly owned banking subsidiary providing finance, three, holding several industrial subsidiaries dominating specific sectors of a market, either solely or through a number of subsidiary companies. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, this dog's doing something that I don't like him to do. They grass this morning. I'll clean that up in a moment. The Zaibatsu were the heart of economic and industrial activity within the Empire of Japan and held great influence over Japanese national and foreign policies. That's politics, folks. Now, the big four of Zaibatsu's are Sumimoto, Mitsubishi, Yoshida, and there's another one. But we've all heard of Mitsubishi. That's family-based. And if you go on, hold it, this dog is not feeling too well. Okay, I need to take a 2-minute break to get her squared away. Okay, wait a minute here. Hey, look, I'm finding my way back to the studio. But you know what? For people that want to, do this reparations thing, let's get to the basics on the fundamental. It starts with family. Zaibatsu's, it's a lot of examples of this. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that 5-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry and put that pools in your money and hold that money and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money from the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police departments. Then the fourth floor that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems, so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 0.0005% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Okay, I had to go tend to one of my dogs here. We were talking about Zaibatsu. We don't cover this all this week. There's Zaibatsu. There's another term that we'll introduce tomorrow. This is out of Japanese culture, but it once again it's spelled Zaibatsu, Zaibatsu. I'll get on Facebook and find one of my Japanese friends and get me correct on the pronunciation of it. But they were very prevalent, and some are still around. Mitsubishi is one of them. And you know some of these companies, at least the holding companies, you know. Mitsubishi is one of them. And they started out as family-owned businesses, which is a fundamental block of society, community. Mitsubishi is one. Kawasaki is another one. Nissan is another one. Mitsubishi is in the top four of the Zaibatsus. It's interesting that Mitsubishi also has, if you look at the largest banks in the world, Mitsubishi is, I think, ranks at number 10, 9 or 10. All started family-based. And let's say they've got, and let me relate this to the solar cabin real quick. Okay, because in a solar cabin, you got the solar electric piece. So let's say you have a solar electric company. You have a company that actually assembles them. So that's company number two. You have another company that actually cuts the pieces. Somebody assembles, but makes the floor, cuts the floor, the walls, the roofs, that type thing. That's another company. You have another company that sells the land. Then you got a financing part. So you got five separate businesses. Let's say they're owned by five different family members. They all have a vested interest in each one of those businesses. And they give business to each one of those businesses. Zaibatsu. Look it up. We're going to continue this tomorrow, and then we're going to merge it into Chinese culture, too. So we're going to cover this all this week, because in my belief, this is the missing piece that African Americans are missing when it comes to business and economic development. I'm trying to find my way to the studio again. I can do some things on one phone, can't do them on another. Okay, but look that word up. That's the homework for today. Zaibatsu, and incorporate it into your business if you have one. If you haven't got one, sit down with a family member. Or if you don't, you're not in that situation as of yet, don't get into a relationship unless you can get into a relationship where you can practice these methods. And you don't have to be Japanese to do this. All right. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.